Hi, and welcome back to
Show 21.
My name is Hank.
And my name is Chris.
And
we
are
my
Mac
guys. Henry, when did this thought come to you?
How kind of you to ask. I actually dreamt about it in bed last night. As I was nodding off to sleep, it came to me that that would be just yet another way to introduce our show.
Yeah, I like that. I really did enjoy that, and I'm sure we're the only ones who did. But hey,
why we're here in our...
How's your week been, Henry?
It's been good, yes.
Busy?
Yes, I worked this week. I haven't worked in a little while, and had a really wacky schedule. Worked a bunch of nights. Won't go into the details, but hey, there's still a contest out there to guess to see what I do for a living, isn't there?
That's right. We're waiting for that call as we speak, and maybe we're never going to get it given our Skype situation. We've really had a problem with that. But without further ado, Henry, would you like to set up this show?
Well, yes and no, because I think that we did an interview with somebody we've referred to on more than one show as Madam X.
Madam X.
And it was a really interesting interview, so much so that initially it was part of a concept to be part of a show combined with other interviews with people like Chris McIntyre and possibly Stephen Harris about people's thoughts on the commercialization of podcasting and what's going on out there and how it relates to, radio.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. But I guess the interview went so well that it's going to stand alone as an interview about those subjects and some more kind of ephemeral thoughts on artwork and what else.
Well, I just want to give you due credit for the concept of the show, because from day one of the broadcast, this has been something you've been pondering, and you've discussed it with me, and this idea of commercialization and podcasting is from the inner workings of Henry's brain. And I just think the show was a delight to do, or should I say the interview was a delight to do, and it really went places that I was very, very happy to go.
Well, good. I mean, without further ado, we're going to eschew our Apple News and our widgets and our podcast of the week, because we're just going to fill up our time with this cool interview.
I feel like, as we said, that Kawhi just turned over in his bed and
hit the pause button on his fourth generation.
The lights just went on in Hawaii.
What? What are those guys talking about?
Apple News is so soothing. All right. So, without further ado.
Okay. And
3, 2.
Matt, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
Well, hey, welcome to our show. And first of all, I just want to say that, you can be completely anonymous because you work for one of the largest and most well-known radio stations in the country. And maybe if you wanted to say something completely that's been bugging you about working there, maybe you don't want to reveal any more information than that.
Mr. X.
You can call me Madam X.
Madam X. Okay, Madam X. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, it's my absolute and total delight.
Well, Chris has been wondering what kind of questions I want to prod you with, but I thought I want to do a show that's basically, my catchphrase is the commercialization of narrowcasting. And, narrowcasting being one of the monikers given to this whole thing under the podcasting umbrella. And one of the more appealing things, which is the idea that, as more individualized a piece of sound a show can become, the more eclectic the choices are. And therefore, Chris and I have discussed on numerous shows how, I would love to find a podcast that was devoted to, the golden age of Marvel Comics. But I'm certainly not going to find that on the airwaves. And so I just want to... and I'm not sure, and I'm hoping maybe you can give some clarity to what it means that a place like KCRW, to great fanfare, has announced, that they're now podcasting 25 of their shows. And I know that from, scanning blogs around the world that people are really excited in like places like Japan about this happening. So that's mostly what I wanted to get some feedback from you on.
Well, to speak specifically to the point of KCRW, let me just say one caveat, which is that you know, I am not involved in our effort to podcast. I mean, we have certain forces at KCRW which are constantly pulling us into the future, and I am definitely not one of them. So I'm a bystander, but being a bystander, I'm a person who has seen firsthand what's going on. But, you know, it's interesting because what you're talking about in terms of, first of all, I wouldn't say commercialization location, because obviously there's a lot of people who are using, you know, podcasting in a non-commercial way, like including us. And maybe that's a fine distinction, but in terms of like this whole thing of narrowcasting, it's very interesting because narrowcasting actually kind of started with cable television, where audiences became more and more and more segmented, and it created a whole new kind of economy in the media.
Yes.
And now podcasting is really taking that to its just logical extreme.
Right. I mean, a lot of people have equated whatever podcasting turns into, and if it completely disappears, so be it. But at least conceptually, the TiVo, you know, TiVo for radio.
Yeah, but, you know, I think what's interesting is that it'll ultimately be a gigantic audition for the big commercial entities, because if you're good and you can hold an audience, you're not going to remain a podcaster very long, unless that's, you know, you have some kind of, you know, internal moral mandate to do that.
We're laughing because you've hit on a natural, not even a debate between us, but I feel that in the few weeks that we've done this show, naturally I start to think, well, why shouldn't I just try to offer this to other levels of commercial radio? And in doing that, I worry that I've corrupted what we started out to do, which was just to have a good time doing a Mac podcast. And I'm constantly saying to Henry, do you have any problem with, should I get us some interest from Clear Channel, that sort of stuff? And of course, it's pie in the sky for me, but I'm just having fun seeing how far we could take it. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to change one iota of the show. All I'm interested in is doing what we're doing here, which is very casual.
Well, I think you should add in there that, I mean, this doesn't, you're not just like talking out of your butt. It's like you had this incredible email exchange with the woman that does the programming for KFI. And it was, you've sent me excerpts of it, but basically, you really have her ear.
But I went completely irreverent because I don't see any reason to kowtow to the commercial radio program directors, because in a sense, we already have something. So it's not like you're even giving me something I don't already have. If nothing happens, we already have our little podcast, which we're very happy doing. So I don't know if you're getting a handle on what this.
Oh, I am, absolutely. And this is a very, I mean, this is all about art, ultimately, and about,
yes,
you know, does money corrupt art? And
yes.
I think the answer is you have to start on one end of the spectrum, which is if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, it's not a tree falling. And if you're doing something that's great, but no one really hears it, you know, what value does it have? And the other end of the spectrum is completely doing something for the monetary return. And somewhere in the middle of that, I think, is what's happening, which is why I've worked in non-commercial radio, because I have a kind of emotional freedom. And at the same time, I know a lot of people listen to what I do.
Right.
So the bigger the dollar, just necessarily, the economy is, the bigger the dollar amounts become, the less freedom that you have. I mean, Dave Chappelle said a very funny thing on a KCRW program called The Treatment. He said, the networks hired me to do shows because of A, B, and C, and then when I got the gig, they asked me not to do A, B, and C because they thought it was offensive. So you can't expect that you would not be asked to change what you do somewhat to please some constituency if you were to work in the commercial arena.
And yet, it makes me wonder that in order for commercial radio to survive, and I'm maybe ignorantly predicting that they're in trouble, but in order for them to survive, they would have to embrace the grassroots movement. And when is someone going to be smart enough, besides a Clear Channel, which can get around the FCC rules apparently, when will they be smart enough to realize that it's this rawness that is going to breathe life back into radio? And some channel, I would assume it would be at KCRW. When
we're a non-commercial station, so that's a whole different ball of wax.
Oh, and that's interesting.
But,
that's it.
I mean, that is a huge difference right there.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that it's very nice that you think that someone's going to figure that out, but I think that you're wrong. And to answer your question, is commercial radio in trouble? It's in gigantic trouble. Gigantic trouble. And it's not unrelated to... It's related in real economic ways to the trouble with the music industry, but it's also related in a kind of emotional way, in that the world was changing around the record industry, and they refused to, you know, deal with that.
Yeah, right.
You know, by saying, gee, we're going to keep our CDs at $18 a pop for mediocre music, and then people are stealing music. We don't know. It's like, hello?
Exactly. Wake up. It's called $7.99.
So, the same thing is true in commercial radio. They're not willing to accept... You know, a station that would do great would be a radio station that was really loosely formatted. I mean, I don't know if you listen to...
Indie 103?
Jonesy's Jukebox.
Yes, I do.
You know, but he's a rare bird because he's a really funny motherfucker with a lot of really great, huge props and a lot of script, you know, cred. The guy's got, you know, he was the Sex Pistols, for fuck's sake.
Hmm. Yeah.
So people are out there like that.
Is that the guy that was in Wired magazine?
I think it is.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Did you read that? Did you read Wired magazine this month?
No.
The whole issue is devoted to podcasting. You know, it's the cover image is a bullet, you know, shattering an FM radio and saying, "Is this the end of?"
The guy you're talking about is the guy who I think is the same.
Was
in Sex Pistols.
Yeah, no, at the Clash. Oh, Sex Pistols.
Sex Pistols. Yeah, yeah. I think he's the drummer for the Sex Pistols.
Right.
Yeah, and he comes in with, you know, they were saying there's no more DJs in some of these, no more turntables in some of these stations. There's hard drives that are programmed at a distance over a network based on top 40 lists. And I personally was a radio junkie early 80s. I literally, from 1 in the morning till about 4 in the morning, I was tuning in Jersey radio stations and college radio. And that thrill is gone. There are those stations, they're there. They're at the bottom of the dial, 88 to 89. But even those are, they're not as raw and as creative as I would like radio to be. I love radio.
What was it about the station that made it so great?
It was a combination of the actual live shows they were playing, a la sort of like a King Biscuit Flower Hour. It was this, you know, finding bands. Like, I remember when the Police played in a club. The Police were on their first tour. They did not have a number one hit on the charts yet. They were just building. And they were playing at a small bar up in Poughkeepsie, New York. And it was broadcast live. That's how I found the Police. That was live radio then. Mm-hmm. Now, I also know rose-colored glasses are on because everything seems better that was old. But I just felt like if I flipped the dial,
I think it was better.
It was better. I would run into five radio stations playing something I was interested in. Now, I could put that radio on scan and never find anything.
Everything was better.
Everything.
The best, my friend.
Listen, we're preaching to each other because we all agree, right?
Yeah. So what else?
Well, I mean, the issue comes down to, though, if you look at it very carefully, is it was great showbiz. Back then, you know, radio was good quality show. It's not. And it's not unpredictable. And it's not, it's not any of those things. So that's a huge problem for radio. And as it becomes bigger business, the fewer chances an FM transmitter in Los Angeles costs over $100 million.
Wow.
You can't fuck around with that. You know, you've got to turn a profit.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but to go back to your original question, just because people are going to pick off some quality people and commercialize them or commodify them doesn't mean that it's not great to have this kind of narrow casting. The issue then just becomes, how do people find you?
Right.
I have a question for you. I mean, is there anything that you're not doing on your show that you would want to have a podcast be able to help you express something? Or are you completely free to do what you like?
Oh, no. I'm free to do what I want. I mean, the truth of the matter is that for me, I find the kind of fun scripts, the kind of restrictions of being on the radio to be good because it keeps me from doing a lot of dumb stuff. Self-indulgent or, you know, edgy for the sake of being edgy. I mean, there's very little. I mean, if you listen, I produce a show called The Business, and, you know, we do stuff all the time that's pretty raw.
Right.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is that fuck is not an idea worth fighting for. The word fuck.
We agree.
But in the, during the Seven Dirty Words era, it was a whole, you were talking about an attitude, about a societal attitude. Now people say fuck and we all admit it. But having to have it on the radio is not free speech.
Miss Ragazzo, are you listening?
we already ran into that debate with language when my mother wrote Henry a note saying he shouldn't use that word on the show. It doesn't help anything or anybody, and he apologized on the show. It's pretty funny, but even for me, I felt the same thing. That it just, you know, it doesn't make the show better.
Well, I mean, listen, I think profanity has an absolutely fantastic place. It's you know, the last refuge of the verbal scoundrel. It's, unfortunately, it's overused. And it's not, I mean, listen, my dad never said the word fuck, you know, I think two times in all the years that I knew him, and when he used it, it had a lot of impact.
Right.
You know, if you say it every day, 15 times a day, it just becomes another word.
Right.
So that's a whole other topic. But no, I work for a non-commercial station. The restrictions that I have are much less than most people in the commercial world. But then again, we're small potatoes. We have 500,000 listeners. You know, the big stations in LA have 2 and 3 times that number of listeners.
Right.
And they're controlled by companies who have 10 and 20 times that number of listeners.
Right.
So it's a whole different...
So make a prediction. I mean, where do you see podcasting in 5 years? What does it mean in 5 years?
It doesn't mean anything because the whole media... I mean, listen, it seems pretty obvious that every kind of media is going to be coming through one kind of box at some point not too long from now, right?
Right.
And that box you'll be able to get in your car, in your home, in your office, everywhere you want to get that thing. And that will be radio and video and everything else. Computer, internet, everything.
Sexy movies?
There always have been the kind of pirate people out there doing their own thing. Before there was bloggers, you know, you could buy jeans.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I don't think that much is really changing other than the number of people you can get to rather quickly.
Well, and the ease with which to implement something is what I think gets easier. I mean, you know, regardless of, you know, we did a show on computers and kids, and it's just, you know, the fact that my 3-year-old is computer literate,
yeah,
and it's going to be doing things that I took me 35 years to. I mean, you know, technology is increasing at such a pace that, you know, now it's podcasting, and sure, in 5 years it'll all be one box, but our access to that box may be something that we haven't even dreamed in terms of how easy it may be. It may not, and I think therein lies, in my mind, kind of what is this conversation about. The, you know, the commercialization of it, because, you know, I know I spoke to you and some friends, not Chris, to Matt, about, you know, my concept about, you know, transference of information going from, you know, one to one to one to many to one. And that fits in my scheme of like what's happening in terms of, you know, I don't know if it's the death of radio or if it's the rebirth of radio. Exactly.
Well, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people who I don't think that your focus on one-to-one and all that kind of stuff is wrong, but there's a whole other part of it that people, they don't pay attention to, and that is what is being communicated.
Right, exactly.
The
content.
Fact of the matter is, the thing that your son will be able to do is for $500, like, make a movie.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And that is powerful.
Yeah.
And if he's talented, that is really powerful. And so it isn't even, you know, at the end of the day, most of what's good and important gets disseminated some way. It always has, and it always will.
It does, but I do find that, like, you know, I just been on a bent of, like, my Netflix, you know, account has allowed me to go back and watch a lot of my favorite movies from the 70s. And, you know, I do find that I feel like when I scan the websites that I go through during the day, like, if I don't, you know, I'll see something that's like I want to invest the 10 or 15 minutes to listen to something or to watch something, to download the video and watch it. But it's like, how many times do I have a chance to do that a week? Only a couple of times a week. And what I feel is happening is that, you know, there is so much more quality content out there, and it does get disseminated, but I don't know if anybody ever sees any of it, because I look at I use myself as a barometer as somebody that actually pays a lot more attention to, you know, alternative websites that deliver video and sound than almost anybody I know. And I know I only see a fraction of what's going on. And it's, you know, and
but that has nothing to do with technology.
No, no, it doesn't. I'm talking about this.
It has to do with the fact that there's only 24 hours, in a day.
Oh, I agree. No, this is my anxiety about what's happening in terms of the increase in you know, our culture's delivering artistic content, which is an amazing thing. And you know, my son making that film for $500. You know, I'm going to help him do, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help him do that. And I don't care whether anybody sees it or not. But that brings us back to the, you know, our initial conversation, Chris and I, yeah, about, you know, Chris has a much more of he has a more of a bent towards seeing where this could go, if only for the fun of it, of like being Mr. PR. I mean, I don't mean to paraphrase your point.
No. I'm actually back to Matt, which is that I don't deny that if you broadcast that you intend to reach an audience. And that to me, the larger the audience, the better. In the sense that I know this is the debate between you and I, which is to me, I would not be happy if only five people were listening to the show. To me, I think that it would be better for more people to listen to the show. I don't know what the number is, mm-hmm, but for me, the idea, it's almost like saying, well, when you know, if I write a screenplay, would I be happy if it only remained on my shelf? The point of writing a screenplay, it's a blueprint for a film. A film is to be seen by people in an audience. It's like, I see all the way down the line that you cannot ignore when you write a script, that the intent of it is to have an audience absorb it, process it, deal with it, whatever.
Well, your intent, but
my intent. And my intent with the show is to have people listen to the show. Otherwise, what, we could just pull the plugs right now and just sit and talk to each other. And what's the point of recording it?
Well, you've gotten really back to the whole nature of art, which is to say, is the nature of art for me to express myself? Is it for me to communicate something to you, or is it something for the audience at the end of the day? And the artist is kind of irrelevant.
And I find that it's hard to completely ignore the concept that other people will eventually see what you do. I find that even if I think you're fooling yourself, that when you say, you know, I'm ready to, I just did a photo show. And when you put something up, you first put it up because it pleases you. But then I found that I would still be affected by somebody liking or disliking a photo. And then I grow or don't grow based on that exchange. And that part of
the process. But it's insidious. If you say, gosh, you know, I've always wanted to do a movie about cowboys, and you think, well, let's make it astronauts because more people are interested in astronauts. We'll take the same story, but we'll make it astronauts instead of cowboys.
Right.
You just made a creative decision based on your expectation of the size of your audience.
And I'm just saying that I think that it's a purist concept to think that that there's no concept of the final delivery system, which is to deliver it to somebody besides yourself. That somewhere
I agree.
You know it. Listen, hey, let's just take it back to Hippo Potty. We all belong to this record group, and we make mixes for each other. You know, I feel personally that when I put this mix together, that I'm perceiving another person receiving this mix, and I want to deliver a certain experience to them. Therefore, it's not just about the mix that is only for me. I've made a mix for Matt and Henry, who, and in your case, Matt, we've never met, but I certainly have received your mix, and I am part of your art, if you want to say that, whether you intended me to care about me or not. I don't know how you can get away from it. I feel like it's like it's the wires behind the wires almost. It's like it's part of that process.
But I
still made the mix I was happy with. I don't know if you liked it, but I made a mix I was happy with. But I'd love to know what you thought of that mix. Is that
okay? What about this is a crazy analogy, but I think there's some truth to it. I've met a girl, and I want to take her out for our first date. And there's a restaurant that's my favorite restaurant, but it's kind of cheap and it's kind of dingy.
Right.
But it's my favorite place.
Right.
Do I take her someplace to impress her?
Madame Butterfly is going on a date?
What?
Madame Butterfly is going on a date?
Yeah. Madame X.
Madame X, sorry.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Do you take her to a fancy place to impress her? Do you take her to a place that is your favorite place?
You take her camping. Matt. That's what you do. You take her camping. Okay, if you want to find out how she's going to be in your life for the future, you take her camping. You will learn everything you need to know about a woman camping. Trust me.
Okay, now this, of course, is just an analogy to the conversation that we're talking about.
It's not
actually about dating.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's good advice, and I've written it down.
Okay, good.
Well,
he's going. Go.
No, but if you stay, I mean, I would say that the most successful kind of communication is where you speak completely for yourself, and then it just by default touches other people.
By the way, I 100% agree with you. And I would say that ultimately, everything I do that I consider art, I do for myself. What I'm trying to say is that in some way, I am not unaware that at some point it leaves my arena and enters the lives of other people. And I don't know if I deal with it or not, but it's somewhere, it's in the ether there that I just finished a novel. And I wrote the novel for myself to express what I needed to express. But from this point forward, it goes to an agent, it goes to a book publishing house, and that's in the ether there for me to be aware that other people will be receiving this. It didn't curb my writing anything. I wrote the book I wanted to write. But
But I mean, you have to understand that consciousness, that even being aware. I mean, you know, Stephen King talks about writing with the door open or writing with the door closed.
Right.
One is to write for yourself and one is to write for other people. And it's true that you can't work in a vacuum, but the amount of consciousness that you have and how much it detracts from your authenticity is an issue. And it has a lot to do with the subject that we're talking about because...
Well, that's a great example. Bring it back to the show. Henry and I get email negative and positive, right? Well, when the negative email comes in, that's someone who doesn't like what we're doing. And I take it more personally than Henry does, and he has, you know, some thoughts on that. But my point is, it will not change the way we do the show because ultimately I believe in what Henry and I choose to do as our show.
But they were paying you to do, you know, if they were paying you $100 a week to do the show, and they said, listen, you know, could you talk a little more about cars?
Right.
You go, oh, well, we like cars.
Well, I think that's
you know, we truly like cars. There's nothing wrong with cars. So
look, say this is an even better example. Chris got us involved kind of, you know, in a fun way, but, you know, with somebody that came up with a giveaway deal, you know, with other podcasts, and you know, basically, you know, if we agree to it, we need to have a tag at the end of the show that says you need to listen to our podcast and these other two, and then email a certain place with a certain word, and you will receive this free gadget, which they were donated to this one podcast.
And I didn't even think that would bother anybody. And then Henry's like, "What?"
Well, no, he wrote it in an email to me, and my reply was the commercialization of narrowcasting because I don't really. And it is right, and it's undeniable.
It is right.
It's important just to be, from my point of view, I don't care whether we do that or not. I just want to make sure it's done consciously and not like, oh, I'm just having fun. It's like, well, no, you actually are selling something now.
Yeah, and you know, and I totally got caught off by the free swag thing because you know, I just get an email out of the blue from some guy, hey, heard your podcast, good show. How'd you like to join with us? And it all, I was so happy anybody was listening. And the next thing you know, I've really had my guard down. I suddenly realized we're making a commercial now in the middle of our show that previously had no commercials in it. And you know, I am getting a free gadget to hook my iPod up to.
But you know, but Henry's right. It's not about doing it or not doing it. It's about being conscious. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with the offer because it's
right.
You know, you all want to help each other, like promote your shows, and it's all good.
Well,
you have to make that decision consciously.
Well, here's an interesting issue. Do you remember a company called Free Car? They would give you a free car, and all you had to do. Okay, so I thought to myself,
"I'm going to have to open my front gate in a little bit."
Okay, so we'll wrap it up. I was just going to say, with the free car issue, it's like, well, what would I be willing to drive around in a free car advertising? And for me, the answer was, if at the time I needed a new car, I would do
wait,
it, but there was
wait,
a...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Anyway, Matt, the thing is, Are we going to use any of this? I mean, I think so, we should. Right? I love it. But I just think it's a whole show.
Sorry.
Are you back? That's all right. No. That's the beauty of it.
I guess the answer was, so here's this free car, and I could advertise. And for me, let's say I had to have it, say, Apple Computer on it. I guess for me personally, I have no problem driving around a car for Apple Computer if I got a free car out of it because I believed in the company. Or if it was REI, the sports company. I mean, there were certain companies.
Are these shameless plugs right now?
No, they're not. But in other words, could you drive? What car would you be willing? What advertising would you be willing to have on a car at a time when you didn't have money for a car? You know, obviously, I don't see you driving around a car for
peace and goodwill towards all men.
Yeah,
that's my car.
That it is a very, very slippery slope.
Yeah, like I do.
And that you would have to be very careful of. I let somebody into my apartment, and now I don't know where they've gone.
Bring them on the show.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see how far the reach of this phone is. I mean, this is a great conversation for a person to come on commercial broadcasting because it is something that we're dealing with all the time.
Right.
Is, you know, what promotion is okay and what's not. What helps us get our message out there more and serve the public, and what takes away from that.
Right.
So.
Well, maybe you should bring Chris and I on as guests on the show and talk about this very subject, and we can... You can sell us a little bit, and in turn, we'll give you a free car.
Okay, I like that. Free right. car and an iPod gadget.
Right.
Gentlemen, I would like to continue this at some point, but now I must go.
Yeah, we'll talk again.
Copy
and,
you.
And by the way, Madam X, the secret word the secret word is wee-wah. In case you want to win
that.
In case you want to listen to the show and win that free swag, wee-wah is our wee-wah. Secret word.
I like it. I don't want to participate in your commercialization.
Right, see you later.
Goodbye.
Okay, and there you have it. Madam X has spoken, and we have listened. And I learned something, and I hope you did too.
I learned nothing, but I did enjoy listening.
You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com.